they're beautiful. But if you go to that church every week, you sit down, you get up, and you leave, and you've done nothing different. You've done nothing for God. Amen. You've done nothing for that church. Amen. And then I started to understand, and then I started to believe that God has so much greater right here in this church than we've seen. Amen. Greater than we can ever even imagine if we take it and we do with what God says to do. Amen. That we run with it. Amen. Are you with me? That was the difference. And I realized that this is what preaching is all about. Amen. Teaching out of the Bible, reading out of the Bible, that's what he did. He was a beautiful man of God. Please understand. But nobody was moved by God until I started speaking about God. Amen? And then I realized what God had put in my heart. And I realized where this church is headed if we will let God pull us through. If we will do what God says to do where this church is headed. Amen? That was the difference. We must be alive. It must move you. The Word of God must move you in your spirit. You can't read the Word of God and feel the same way after. If you have, you failed reading it. You didn't read anything. It must change you, but it must change you from victory to victory. And I apologize to God. You know why? I apologize to God for talking bad about Derby. Oh, the Derby. Oh, the Valley. How many times have I said that? Oh, the Valley. There's nothing. And God is saying, son, I brought you to the Valley. What is wrong with the Valley? Did you create the Valley? No. Did you have anything to do with it? No. Then what are you telling me how bad the Valley is? And Derby. How many people said nothing happens in Derby? You know why? Because we haven't done anything yet. Amen. For 5 years I've been here, and I know that we want to do great things for God. But guess what? For 3 years we did nothing. I'll tell you what we did, and please don't misunderstand, because we were growing together. We argued about should we get new cushions in God's house, Dominic. Imagine that. And we all were in the same. Said, well, we really got to pray about it. You know, we need to God's house. And God's up there saying, really? Really? I blessed your church. You look at the blessing we have. Look at what we have. And look at the people who built this church. And they're looking at us now saying, really? You got all that stuff? You got people who came there and wanted this church to be great, and you're sitting on it? You don't have anything out. Nobody. One of the best kept secrets in Derby up till 2 years ago was this church. And people built this church. For who?
Us.
We're sitting on a pile of gold right here. You're going to look at another church, a big church in New Milford. Oh, there's 1,000 people there. Really? So what does that mean? How does that move you closer? You want to go to a club? Join a club. You want to come to God? You got to have the movement of God. Amen? Let me tell you something about you all. You're all great. You're all great in His eyes. But if you don't act on it, God says, I can't help you. You remember? You want to win the lottery? What do you got to do first, Dominic? Buy a ticket. You want God to help you? You got to take a step first. You got to show Him your faith. This church needs to show God. We believe, Lord. We believe that we can be successful. We believe that we can change the Valley. But we can't change the Valley if we argue about should we get new cushions or not. When we're sitting on a gold mine. And again, I tell you, this is not to say what we didn't do yesterday. I'm just giving you the illustration that I see this church in a new light each and every week. And this week, after what I went through with God, I see it on fire. I see flames coming out of this church. I see people in Derby being moved. And not by me, but through me, because God has said, tell the people about me. Tell them about me, so that when they go home and they go to work, they act like they're Christians. They talk to people. People say, you know, Deacon Gary, you, they know it's Sikorsky's. You cannot be replaced because of how you work. So all of a sudden, you've been elevated by God, through God. To a place that you could have spoke 1,000 words and got you nowhere, but because of who you are and the Spirit of God, amen? Dominic, the same for you. You've been lifted up by people around you because of who you are, who God has made you. And He said, I haven't even started with you. And you got the most beautiful family. He said, this is your foundation. This right here. You got gold right here. You don't need to go anywhere else for gold, amen? God will bring you so much. Let me tell you about reading the Word of God. You know who knows the Word of God? Satan. Knows the Word of God better than me, better than you. You know what's really funny about unbelievers? Karen, you know what's funny about unbelievers? They use God's scripture. You understand what I'm saying to you? Unbelievers, Lisa, use God's scripture against us. Oh, judge not. You don't believe. No, I don't, but God said judge. Unbelievers tell us about God. We should be telling them about God. We shouldn't be letting unbelievers say, you know what Christian means. You don't know what it means. You don't know how hard it is to become a Christian. You don't know the sacrifice of becoming a Christian. To forgive people who you never thought in your life you could forgive. To do things you never thought possible to do because you become a Christian. To accept the vile things in the world. Say, if somebody says the most vile thing to me, I have to accept it. Because freedom is only free if it's free for all of us. So that means if somebody is mad at me, I have to accept it. If they hate when I'm talking about God, I have to accept it. If they call me names, I have to accept it because I am a Christian. But other people don't accept it. They get offended. And when they get offended, you lose your rights. Amen. That's what happens. Oh, I'm offended. Well, excuse me for you being offended. Have a good life. We're Christians. We stand above that. But they don't understand that. But they, who are they? Unbelievers. Call it whatever religion you want. I call it atheism. Now, here's the beautiful thing about atheism. Well, it really isn't much. But here's the beautiful thing. Don't ever argue with an atheist. Don't. You know why? Because you'll never win. It's like trying to make a Red Sox fan a Yankee fan. I've said that over and over. You'll never win. So we do what they do. Oh, marriage is between a man and a woman. No, it's not. Oh, okay. So now I say atheism is a religion. They say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's the religion of unbelief. I'm not going to argue with them because I'll never win that. But if I tell enough people, and you tell enough people, and enough people in other places hear it, and people in power hear it, they'll start to say, why are we letting this religion overbound this religion? Because they say, well, prove to me there's a God. I say, prove to me there's not. So now we stand on the same ground. Amen? But I say, I can teach you about God. I can teach you about what it is to be a Christian. I can teach you about the love of Jesus. What can you teach me? What theory can you teach me today? Because at the end of your theory, Jackie, at the end of their theory, guess what there is? Death. Over. See you later. Bye. Greg and I had a friend who believed that. Remember? He said, when you die, that's it. Not with my God.
Amen.
Amen. Not at this church. Not in this spirit. Not there's, I'll tell you. Give them praise. I'm telling you, pull the seatbelt tight. I ain't even begun yet. Because I'm talking about God. I'm talking about my Lord and Savior. I'm talking about this book. Not written by one person. It's not a storybook. It's a collection of people who spent time with God. I told you, unbelievers are in this book who, when they found him, acknowledged that with God, amen, with God, they what? Prospered, amen. And that's the next word we're going to get to in a minute. Hallelujah. So, Lord, with you, to fail is not an option. With God's success, success should always be expected. And I would say this. I thank God every day for those who kept this church alive. This church alive. For the memory of the people who built it. For the people who were here before, who gave to it. Who gave their heart and soul to this church to be alive. I thank God for that. But church has never failed. Men at times have forgotten. And that's what we have done. We have forgotten. We started to worry. We started to doubt. We started all with the appearance. We'll let the appearance go. Because that spirit gets in you. But that spirit didn't come from God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I say with God, we must reclaim what was lost. We must never be afraid to succeed. We have all the tools we need to succeed in this church. For this town, for this state, in your lives, in your family's lives, your grandchildren's lives, your friends' lives, we have all the tools we need. We have His Word.
Amen.
You keep it to yourself, who does that enrich? When you tell others about Him, you not only enrich yourself and strengthen yourself, you strengthen those around you. when you tell them about victories with God, when you expect victories when you walk with God, people see that. People see success. People are drawn to success. We as Christians should show them the greatest of all successes. We should show them in our lives the greatest of all things, so they would desire that. Him. Not the money, not the wealth, but Him who gave to us the success. When you see God and see your children and say, those were gifts from God. Gifts from God. And your grandchildren, gifts. Gifts from God. Saying, take care of these. Take care of these. I'm giving these people you. I'm giving them to you to take care of. He's given them to you so you can tell them about Him. Give them hope for tomorrow. Give them hope no matter what the world says, that they cannot lose with God. Sure, the trials and tribulations, but that's their battles to learn more, to understand more, to appreciate more. But God will never forsake them. He will never leave them. Like He will never leave this church. Like we need to stand with God and put everything we have and don't hold back. Don't hold back and let some generation come that none of us know about come and take what was given to us and just throw it away because they got it for free. We need to put the work in. We need it in our lives. We need to trust. We need to see. We need to be greater tomorrow than we were today because God calls you great. He calls you to be great. Not in sports, but in life. Life-changing greatness. To not say the same things you did, not do the same things you did, but to do greater things and draw people to you in ways that only God can do for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Again, I say, Lord, thank you for who you are, what you've done in our lives, Lord, to this day, right here in June, and what you're going to do in our lives as we walk close to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise, church. I don't want the day to come in my life or in your life when you meet God face to face and you say, why? He would have said, you know what I was going to do? If you had only took a step in faith, if you only let the people know about the church, if you only let the fire out that door, let the people see, do all that we can, all that we've been blessed with, God would say, you know what I had planned for you, but you didn't let me do it. You didn't open the door so I can do it. You didn't open the door to people's lives so I can change them. Praise the Lord. I found this book. Again, I tell you, if you're looking for God and looking for things, and it's simply an old paperback book, it says Famous American Speeches. And I read these books. I read this one in particular because of the people that gave those speeches. People smarter than me. Thank you, Lord. How you doing? Don't get quiet now. Hey, hallelujah. Said, I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. This man said, let me now take you more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. The spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passion of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of all the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge. Let me read that again. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries have perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. That word. When I point to you, say it. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. Thank you very much. Told you. I'm not here to be perfect. I'm here to lead you. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns the disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberties. Listen to what he said. Without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, and then in parentheses he said, which nevertheless ought not to be entirely out of sight, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and the duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves always to distract, imagine this, it serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which find a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and the will of another. Amen. He's not saying anything against anybody. He's saying it against it all. Amen. Let me read one more paragraph from this man. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, of all, how many?
All.
The dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. What kind of supports?
Indispensable.
In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. He said a volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education, on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Amen. George Washington. The Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can't make it without God. That's what he was saying. We can't have the morality without some God in our life. We can't judge people without God's word. We can't have courts judging people without the morality of God. Amen. That's the foundation of who we are. Amen. And sometimes you can see we come apart at the seams. But you know, it's okay, because guess who brings it back together again?
God.
Who's God?
God.
Hallelujah. So I will ask you today, what is the root of all evil? Somebody said money? Well, explain this to me then. Luke says, give and it will be given to you. Given to who? Given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. So if money is the root of all evil, then why is God promising you that if you give, it will be given back, not just a little bit, but given back so your cup overflows? Amen? Hallelujah. And why is God, if money? Thank you, Lord. Now Joseph, not that Joseph, had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Does anybody know that the Lord is with us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. What kind of man? So I guess he prospered. And his master, your boss saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. To do what? So the king was now prospering. He wasn't a believer. He just was prospering because why? Joseph was there. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of the house. And all that he had put in under Joseph's authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in that house and in that field. Hallelujah. Thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Hallelujah. I love this. Those that remember this. It says in Joshua 1:8. Let me read. I'm going to ask you again. This book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. From where?
Mouth.
It means you got to talk it. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Listen to this. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. So I ask you again, what's the root of all evil? Let me read from Luke. Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. Amen? The love of money means you have a right to prosper. Your grandchildren have a right to believe that someday they're going to prosper. That they don't have to be poor. God, see, because when you prosper, that means you're successful. And when you're successful, people want to be near you. And when people are near you, you can help them. And when you help them, they help others because of your prosperity. Because of God. He wants this church to prosper. Amen? There's only one way for it to prosper. It's for us to light the fire out there and let the church prosper. Amen? The love of money. How many remember the story about the gold miners? Remember those days ago? They went hunting for gold, Marty. They went and they dug for gold. And Sergio, they never got enough. They never got enough. Well, they got gold. They got gold fever. And they could never get enough. Never get enough to the point where they forgot their families. They forgot their lives. They forgot everything except the wealth and the money. And it wasn't even the money. Amen? It was the love of money. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I tell you again. Hallelujah. We are sitting on a pile of gold right here. We must not let it stay buried. Amen? We must have the faith to trust God, to make it a shining light on the hill. Amen? I know I stole that from Mr. Reagan. I know. But I want to be a shining light on the hill. And God has given us this time, this place, to be successful, not to wait any longer. 150 years ago, people built this church. We have been blessed with that. We've had people through the years come to this church and gave all they had to this church. Gave it to us so that we could make it shine, amen? Not to hold on to it, not to have the love of, not to be worried about it, but to have God's favor. Because he blessed us with, this is our time. And I tell you about this church, Marty, but this is your time at home too. And your time to be successful. All you need to do is find something that's missing in the world. Ask God. Draw with God. Find something that you can do and God will bless you. He will lift you. You start the project, amen? And then let him mold it. Let him lift you up. Because years ago I thought, well, maybe Greg and I can go and we could play at churches and play Christian music and we could do something. And it's come to this. Amen? God said, that's a great idea. Finally coming to me, are you? Now it's about time. Now I can do some work. The people before us believed. They gave all they had. They left their mark all over this church for us. For who? For this time. For this church. For this city. It's exactly the same for you. Good success. How many want good success? I tell you, find what needs to be done. Find out what's missing. What your boss truly wants and then act. Gary went to a place, showed himself to the point where they know that they need him. They lifted. He didn't do anything except do it through God. He went there and gave all he had. Dominic, the same thing you're telling me. They saw the man that you are. They said, we can't lose the man that you are. God lifted you up to that position. Good success. When they see that you can't be replaced, amen, good people are drawn to you. Successful people. Why are we drawn to successful people? Because they can offer us something, amen. Why do we go to the places where the shiniest places? Because they feel like they serve the best food. Amen. Why do we do these things? Because we expect it to be the best. Well, this church should be the best. Amen. And it's going to be the best because God brought me here. And we're not going to fail. And we can't be afraid to fail. With God, there's no such thing as failing. Amen. Amen. Give him praise, church. And let's have that self. Hallelujah.
And I just wanted to say, yesterday, you know, we all have our battles, and Christians are always attacked mostly from the ones that we love most of the time. And one of my sons said to me yesterday, Mom, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive her for what she's done. And I said, you're absolutely right. I forgave her a long time ago. It doesn't mean I have to have that person in my life anymore. You know, we do have to forgive, but we don't have to continue to go back to the same place that will repeatedly cause us pain.
I thought she was talking about me. I want you to understand, when Derby Days, I'm guilty. I haven't disobeyed the first time I'm here in Derby Days.
Yay.
I ask God to forgive me for that. Because this is my dream, the church. My dream in the last 25 years. So we got pencils, we got pens coming with our name on it, and notepads coming in, and that's a great thing. But I'm telling you that I've been driving by the church, and we drove by a couple times, and the last couple of weeks, my spirit is just like forever up. And I'm thinking, this place should shine. So shine, way better than the town hall, way better than the green, way better than the restaurant. And as I drive by it, it's nothing. There's no, I mean, thank God. Art, you know what they talk about, Art and Gladys, the garden out there, how beautiful the garden is. And I said, that. Thank you, Lord, that they noticed the garden and the flowers in there. But this is his house, amen? And if we want good success, if we want to fill the church up, they need to know that there's good success in the church, amen? We can't expect to do nothing and everybody say, oh, I got to go there. We got to make them understand. We got to bring them to the door, bring them in, and we got to feed them, and then let God do the rest of it, amen? So I'm so excited that Dave is going to be killing me because, he's going to say, boy, I'm telling you, you're just killing me now. Because I want the church to glow on Derby. I want the people over there to say, what is that building? That building's been there ever since I lived in Derby. How come I never saw it before? Because we never let them see it. Amen? Now, I'm just praying that your fire builds with me, because I'm telling you, we're in a new stage of growth. Amen? We're in a season of growth. New people are going to be coming to the church to be fed. Amen? And we need to make it sparkle for God. Amen? And that's the same way, I'm telling you, Lisa, the same way I want you to be. You need to sparkle. You need to shine. Wherever you go, Karen, you need to shine. You need to have that spirit where it shines. signs out. No more sadness. No more frowning. No more hold. Just let everybody know, hey, what's driving you? And you just say, God is doing this for me. God is lifting me up. And people will say, how do I find that? Or they won't, Sergio. And if they don't, leave them where they are. You don't have time. You got five other people begging you to help them, but you haven't found them yet. See, we've got gold right here. If it's so poor in the valley, then the gold is still in the ground. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're victory. We're victorious in His name. Amen. Good success. Hallelujah. Prosperity. Hallelujah. Able to walk into the throne room to our Father in heaven because of Jesus. And He simply asked to do this in remembrance of Him. He blessed and broke the bread, passed it around for the disciples to eat. Amen. The disciples didn't know what He was talking about. They didn't understand. They loved Him enough to do what He said, but they didn't. You know. You understand. Praise God.